turn with me tonight for just a really a brief study. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. You know, as you read the scriptures, you'll find that God does not discourage people from asking questions. At 12 years of age, Jesus sat with the rabbis and he asked them questions. In fact, asking questions are really a hallmark of the rabbinic method. Did you know that it's recorded in the Gospels that Jesus asked at least 108 questions? I didn't count them. Someone did. He asked questions like, why worry? Why fear? Why those evil thoughts? Who do men say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What are you looking for? What do you want? Who touched me? Do you love me? He asked questions because he wanted to wake up the people that he was speaking to. He wanted to activate their thinking. He wanted to stir up a response from them. He wanted to provoke them to self-examination and ultimately to prompt them to look to God. As I was reading Luke chapter 8 the other day, this question in this chapter jumped out at me, and I thought, you know, now that's an especially provocative question. And I want us to consider that and to ask ourselves this same very question. Luke chapter 8, I want to pick up reading. Brief experience in the life of Jesus with his disciples, verse 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, are you ready? Here's the provocative question. Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and waters, and they obey him. Where is your faith? That's the question I want you to consider with me tonight after we pray. Heavenly Father, just ask that you will use this simple question to really stir up our thinking. And to really challenge us, as you used it to challenge your disciples so long ago, challenge us as your followers tonight with this very question. Lord, I pray that we'd be honest with ourselves and we'd be honest before you, and we would answer this question, and Lord, that you would help us to increase our faith, strengthen our faith, we pray. May we be focused upon the object of our faith, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. May we be looking to Jesus, that we might live our lives by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us, as we pray for his sake. Amen. One of the first things that comes to mind as I thought about that question, where is your faith, is the word disappearance. Because it's implicit in that question that it's possible for you as a believer to possess faith at one point and it may later vanish. Faith can be strong at one point and weak at the next. It can disappear. Reminds me of the commercial, the guy that takes the back stuff that makes his back feel better, and his wife asks him, how's it going? And he says, the paint is gone. Well, you know what? Sometimes faith is gone. It just disappears. It's possible to believe God at one moment or trust God in one area and not the next. I think of Peter in the same chapter, just verses apart. In Matthew 16, he comes out with that wonderful statement of belief that God revealed to him that Jesus was the true Messiah, the Son of God. And then a couple of verses down, he's trying to stop that same Jesus, the Messiah, from suffering. That's unbelief. But it was belief just above that. And so you can trust God in one area of your life, but not trust God in another area of your life. I mean, think about the past few days. Or think about right now. Has your trust in God been vanishing? Or has it vanished? Is your faith in the Lord showing? Or is it disappearing? Is it missing? The Lord says, where is your faith? That is a question for us to consider. Another word that comes to mind when I think of that thought-provoking question is not only disappearance, but replace. You know, in the natural world, there's no such thing as a vacuum. In the natural world, there's atmospheric pressure on this earth. There's oceanic pressure under the water. There is pressure in outer space. But in the human soul, there's not a vacuum either. The moment that faith vanishes, I can guarantee you that something else will rush in. And when faith vanishes in our hearts, fear will rush in to replace it. There's that replacement of fear in place of faith. And when fear rushes in and replaces faith, fear has a paralyzing effect upon us. Fear will make progress and usefulness in the plan of God impossible. Many Christians feel that their boats, quote unquote, are going to sink. I read of a lady that told her pastor that she found a great promise in God's word. Psalm 56:3. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And the pastor said to her, well, let me give you a better promise than that. Isaiah 12:2. I will trust and not be afraid. Is there something that you fear? Jesus' question then, where is your faith? Has fear replaced your faith? Has fear begun to control your thoughts? Are you not able to sleep at night because of fear that has gripped your thinking? And there's a third word, and with this, I'm going to finish, and we will then open it up to maybe some thoughts or comments or questions or testimonies. And the third word that I think of when I consider that question of our Lord, where is your faith, is the word abundance. Fear reveals that you really don't fully believe Jesus. Unbelief in the sufficiency of Christ. What do you need as an individual, as you sit here tonight, what do you need to make you feel secure? You need someone? Do you need something? Do you need a certain amount of money? Do you need a particular job? Do you need a certain relationship with someone? Do you need a change in your circumstances in order to feel secure? We're going to sing a song in closing in a little bit. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Because Jesus is all you need. In fact, we sang that already tonight. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. He's all I need. Is he all you need? I remember also reading about a man, a wealthy man, that purchased a brand new Rolls Royce. And he read the owner's manual from cover to cover. And one thing that he could not find in the owner's manual was the amount of horsepower that Rolls-Royce engine produced. And so he wrote him a letter and asked them to please verify and confirm for him how many horsepower this engine of this vehicle that he purchased produced. He waited, and finally he got the response in the mail. He opened the letter, and when he opened the letter, "Dear sir," one word, adequate. Adequate. Adequate power for this vehicle. So I would say to you that no matter what you face, Jesus is adequate. He is enough. He is sufficient. Jesus is sufficient anytime for anything that you'll ever face. I think it, the writer of Hebrews, it says, because Jesus will never leave me nor forsake me, I will not fear. I will not fear. I'll never fear. I'll never, never fear, he says. One final thought. This is a true story. A pastor's little daughter died suddenly. And this young father could hardly arrange for the funeral because he was just overcome with tremendous sorrow, as you could imagine. And after the funeral, being a pastor, he had to prepare sermons. And he began to prepare the sermon and recognized that the sermon that he was scheduled to preach for that next service was 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Paul says, Christ says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee." He spent a couple of hours working on the sermon. And then he said to himself, "You know what? I don't feel it. It's not true, at least in my experience. I don't find God's grace sufficient for me." And under his heavy trial, he cried out to the Lord. He said, "God, make your grace sufficient for me." And as he wiped away the tears from his eyes, he happened to glance up over his desk, and he saw an illuminated verse card that his mother had given him, that he had set up. And the words read, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And the word "is" was illuminated. It was in bold type and in a different color from all the other words in the text. And it was at that moment, the pastor seemed to hear a voice in his soul that said to him, "You fool. How dare you ask God to do for you what he's already done? My grace is sufficient for thee." He's already done it. And the fact that God's grace is sufficient is not enough for you to have it. It has to be claimed personally by you. If you don't believe that, obviously you'll never bother to claim it. And so if you don't claim it, you'll never experience it. Do you believe it? If you believe it, then you can claim it. And if you claim it, then you will experience that his grace is sufficient for you, no matter what the circumstance is that you are finding yourself in. So if you are dealing with personal anxiety, that's the only way to be set free from what is sinful bondage. My grace is sufficient for thee. Where is your faith? Let that question that I say is a very provocative one, let that echo through the corridors of your mind. Where is your faith when you doubt, when you are panic-stricken? May the Holy Spirit of God bring that to our minds. Where is your faith? It can vanish. Faith has a way of becoming disappearance. Faith can be replaced by fear. But God's grace is sufficient, and so faith can actually be something of abundance in your life.